Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Let's go over to the Tepe case. Michael McKee is charged with murdering his ex-wife and her husband. The evidence looks very bad. You have surveillance footage, allegedly, a vehicle traced back to him. Witnesses saying Monique told them he'd threatened her for years. This is not a case that I think you want to be on the Michael McKee side of. This is going to be a hard one for anyone to defend. Bob Mata, defense attorney, is here with us to break this down. And I'm going to make you put on that defense attorney cap. And I'm sure you've probably already been running this through your mind a little bit. I mean, the man looks guilty as sin. But he, you know, someone's got to defend him. He's hired a very high profile, a very successful defense attorney to back him up. Bob, knowing what you know about this case thus far, and this thing came across your desk, what's the first things going through your mind?
Oh, boy.
Oh, pass. You're going to someone else.
Well, I mean, look, if you get a case like that, Look, the bottom line is the job is that you want to make sure that the Constitution is being protected. But sure. it stands like, and I know it seems like kind of a generic, like, oh, but it's so true. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, the thing that we have to concern ourselves with is make sure that the Constitution is protected, make sure that the guy gets a fair trial, make sure that the cops and the prosecutors do their job on the up and up so that we can feel comfortable with the actual verdict and this thing, if it ends up going to trial. I have a feeling I will not be shocked, T, if we're talking about, you know, my honest opinion of this thing. Like, I will not be shocked if he pleads at some point. There's just like every case isn't going to go to trial.
No.
You know what I mean? And I like most cases, a vast majority of cases do not go to trial, you know, but let's pretend that there's a world in which Michael McKee is a giant narcissistic fucking weirdo, which he is, you know,
allegedly. So like, yes.
So in that world, I can see this guy being like, I don't think they have much. I want to go to trial. Cause much like we talked about testimony in terms of a defendant being explicitly that defendant's choice, same with going to trial or not going to trial. A lawyer can give you all kinds of advice, but at the end of the day, that decision is wholly sitting with the defendant. They are the one who gets to decide. Like, I've had cases where my clients are like, I'm like, it's, you know, we're in trouble here. You know, they've got a lot of powerful evidence. And, you know, I think it would behoove us to try to see if we could work out an agreement where maybe I can shave some time off your sentence. And again, remember, everything's not murders, right? So, you know, so like in this particular case, you're always butting up against the concept of, And I believe there's a moratorium on the death penalty out there.
There is,
So, I mean, depending on what happens with that thing, because moratoriums can be lifted.
Yeah.
But if they're making a stone cold, fuck you, you're going away for the rest of your life. We're not budging on that. You're not getting an offer other than you can just spare the families of having to sit through the trial. If you have a grain of decency that flows through your body anywhere, which is a tough sell to a narcissistic psychopath, right? Like, you're not going to be like, oh, you know, you're right.
I think about it from a humanistic side, they don't have like, that. Yeah,
exactly. So like if we're living in that world, which I think we could be, and you're trying to look at it from a defensive, like you're going to have to attack. It's a circumstantial case, right? But it's a very powerful circumstance. Most cases are circumstantial. And most cases where they have a lot of powerful circumstantial evidence, a lot of times to me, in terms of if you've got direct evidence in terms of an eyewitness, I'd pick to have the circumstantial, the powerful circumstantial case where it is that thing where Occam's razor really does apply. Like, I'm not one of those people that thinks that everything's Occam's razor. Mm-hmm. There are prosecutors out there I know that think that everything's Occam's razor, you know, which is, the most obvious thing is the correct answer. So, which can be true, but like we were talking about, there's a lot of shit in the grays.
There's a lot of obvious things in this case.
There's a lot.
If just one of them is true, it's pretty damning.
Exactly.
And I guess you got to look at it like, well, what does he have to lose? I mean, if death is already off the table because, and we don't know, because they could try and do a death penalty case, even though there is a moratorium, it could be lifted at some point. But let's just say it's not a death penalty case. What does he have to lose other than money, other than paying an attorney? And then you have your freedom if you win and whatever money you have left. If you lose, you're in prison for the rest of your life. Those are your options.
That's
why
exactly
not fight?
Point.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean,
and
I guess that's where, you know, you take a look at it, and I wouldn't be surprised if he pleads either. But to someone like this, it feels like there's a lot of Coburgery vibes going on here to me, where it's a game, it feels like, and you can't catch me. And even though it's really obvious, I'm going to say I was staring at the stars for 3 years until the 11th hour that I'm finally going to go, yep, I did it. Nothing more, but yep, I did it. I could see that being the case. Not necessarily because he wants to give any sort of, like, you know, thing to the family or any sort of grace. It's because it inconveniences him. He's sick of going back and forth from the courthouse. He got that ride. He's been doing it enough, and he's fulfilled. And he doesn't like people looking at them and saying, you're wrong. Because it would be humiliating. And you know, narcissists don't like humiliation. They 100%. Don't like being disrespected. And a trial would be 1,000% disrespect to someone like this. And that's like kryptonite. But until then, you know, drag everybody through the mud, drag them through your hell. I wouldn't be surprised if he does just that. The prosecution is leading hard in the surveillance footage, the car coming and going, him allegedly walking through their yard weeks earlier. You know, it sounds horrible when we hear these headlines. And it's from the prosecution. How reliable are these claims when they're saying these sort of things? I would imagine, you know, there has to be some strong credence on it if they're going to be throwing it out there the way they are.
Yeah, no, I'm going to assume that, you know, the things are as they say they are with respect to the evidence that they collected. I think that they'll probably be able to prove it up. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, ultimately, with any surveillance, you know, we all saw what they released to the public in terms of the dude walking down the alley. You can't really see his face. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you could talk about his build and things of that nature, and maybe have, you know, some kind of expert come in and say, okay, well, you know, like, we've been able to work it out that this guy is, you know, because McKee's kind of a big dude.
Yeah.
Right? He's kind of a hulking figure. So, you know, I mean, you're not going to be able to ID him in terms of saying, well, I could see his face clear as day, so that's definitely him. You know, the vehicle stuff's pretty powerful. I mean, it's clear that he's there.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like, I don't think that they're going to have any problem getting a jury to buy the fact that this creep was there.
Yeah.
No, what they're going to put out there in terms of forensic evidence in the house is going to be important. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what are they able to find? You know, obviously we know they find the silencer, you know, and like, mm-hmm. I can't remember if it was in our chat or where the fuck it was. Like, people are like, oh, you know, like, silencers don't prove shit. I'm like, you know, 700,000 people own silencers. That's our Second Amendment. I'm like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
That's it. It proves shit. the average
gun owner doesn't have a silencer. They don't. I mean, if you're a super enthusiast and you collect a bunch of shit and you just spend your money on that, okay, maybe. But if you only have so many weapons and you have a silencer and it happens to be connected to the murder weapon itself, that's not a good look.
It's not a good look. I mean, when you happen to be the guy that they're accusing of murder,
yeah,
you probably don't. Like, if you're one of those Americans that's screaming about your Second Amendment rights to own a silencer, if you get the sense that law enforcement is going to be looking at you for murder anytime in the near future, you might want to lose that thing, because I'm telling you, it's not a good look.
I mean, I in some states they're illegal. I know that. I mean, is this really a state? I don't know the answer to this. I don't know if you do either, but is it? I thought it was illegal to even own a damn silencer. Maybe that's just a state thing.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a state by state thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, because look, I mean, there's a lot there's a lot of excuses of people why they might want a silencer that are not very compelling to me in terms of why. Yeah,
you're out hunting like a hitman for deer.
That's what it seems like.
It's like the first thing
that pops in your head. Well, this guy's probably a hitman. You know,
yeah.
It's like try to keep that shit on the down low. You know, because I think it was in our chat from our chat last week.
Yeah.
Where somebody was making the comment like, oh, that there are hunters that use them on their rifles. I'm like, okay, I did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
You know, I guess that's a thing.
Okay.
I'm not sure. You know, I mean, maybe the point of that is if like you fire your first shot with a rifle and if you've got the sound suppressor on it, that it's not going to spook the deer in the event that you miss the first shot. Mm-hmm. So that the deer will, I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe that's the thing. I don't know. I mean, I grew up in Wisconsin amongst hunters and I'd never have heard or seen of one using a silencer on their, but again, this was the 80s and 90s. Maybe things have changed. I don't know. I'm not up on the culture. So yeah. I could easily be wrong. I don't know the answer to that.
What I do know the answer to before we move on is that, again, if you're being accused of being a double murderer, and they find a silencer somewhere in your possession, and there's nobody around the area that is claiming to have heard gunshots, it's not a good look. You might want to get rid of that thing. That I know.
One more. Why do you think he kept the gun?
I have no idea. You know, it's like, again, the only thing that you can think is his fucking ego and his narcissism. And he's just like, they're not going to catch me.
I got two things. I mean, I got that. I agree on that. I think there's a level of that that's at play here, but I also don't think he was done. I feel like this guy might have been going on the Michael McKee grievance tour, and this was stop number one. And thank God the tour was canceled before it went further, because there was other people. You know, there was the civil suits. There was this. I wouldn't have been surprised if that gun was kind of his little security blanket and he was going to be out, you know, making some more stops on other folks who've wronged Michael McKee. Considering how he disappeared from the planet from so many people, I don't know. That means pure conjecture. Who the hell knows? Digital is going to be really interesting in terms of the footprint, not only for the murders of the McKee or for the Tepes, but I'm really curious if they're going to find more on the other folks that he had grievances with. And I'd be curious if there may be other charges that could come out of that. If it shows that maybe there was some premeditation or planning for other folks too.
Or other people that he's already done it to.
That would be even more interesting.
Yeah. I mean, like I can't, we talked about this last time. I mean, like, there's a lot of similarities to my client, Anthony Garcia. Like I said, when they nailed him going down to Louisiana, they were dead set on the fact that he was going down to kill the professor that fired him most recently from his residency there. So, and he might have been.
It's an odd modality at nearly 40 that you're just suddenly murdering people. And if you've always kind of been this angry, narcissistic, you know, self-loathing, you know, individual, which it appears, you know, that's kind of how he was, you know, allegedly, in my opinion. It would be odd that suddenly this is what finally tripped you up to make you go that far. I wouldn't be surprised if there was other folks in the past. I'd be looking very closely at anyone within the realm of his, you know, reach over the last 20 years that died.
100%. Like in any kind of mysterious or questionable way.
Yeah.
You know, cause like this guy, as we find out, as more and more information kind of drips out, and when the new version of the probable cause affidavit dropped and we found out some of these facts. I mean, this guy, we learned that it wasn't just this petition that resurfaced. Like, this dude could not let it go, you know? And
For a decade.
And he's sitting there at their fucking property in the early December, lurking and creeping. You know, it's not some kind of coincidence that she's leaving, Monique's leaving the fucking, the, you know, early in the second half of the Indiana, Ohio championship, like Big Ten championship game, which is a big deal. They're both Ohio State alums, you know, they're like, they're with friends. It's like, and she's dipping out to the hotel. This guy's in my world, clearly sending pictures. Like, I'm outside your house.
There's something. You know what I mean? The like, ring camera. Or can you imagine her sitting there at the game and you get the little chime and you're like, oh, did UPS drop something off? Oh, it's just my ex-husband who's threatened to murder me. And there he is. Yeah. I mean, it's what a horror story.
Just what a horror story. Like, terrifying. Yeah. It just shows. It's like that thing that we were talking about last week. That, like, a piece of paper doesn't do shit.
No.
Like, if somebody's got designs on doing something unthinkable like this, like, you've got to do as many proactive things as you can in order to defend yourself, because you have to assume the worst.
You do. You can't just rely. That piece of paper is not going to do shit. And it's not. And don't anybody take that as don't report it.
Right.
Report the shit out of it, because that will help you. But those are building blocks that you need should it escalate, which obviously this escalated. But, you know, you at the end of the day, the cops are not your, they're not the Kevin Costner and you're not Whitney Houston.
Exactly.
You know, they're not your bodyguards. And yeah, you can call them and they will do the best they can. But keep in mind, there's a gazillion other people they're protecting too. And unless you're going to hire 24/7 security, you better have some means ready to go when Nutcase shows up at your doorstep. And who knows, maybe they did. I mean, you get ambushed in the middle of the night. It doesn't matter if they, who knows? I don't know if they had guns. I don't know what they had in place,
right.
But if he had a way in and there he is with a gun and it's to your head and you're sleeping, you're kind of fucked.
You're fucked.
And yeah, and if he doesn't care about getting caught, which I don't know, I mean, the sloppiness of this, it appears he, you know, tried to be elusive, but just wasn't very good at it. If they don't care, yeah, that's even worse. That means there's nothing that's really going to stop them unless you happen to strike first.
I mean, when they're coming at you. Yeah, I was just going to point out that comment, T. So that's
Monique had more gunshots.
Sadly, you know,
that's horrible.
That tracks. Yeah. It, like, when the kind of the factual scenario comes out of how the two victims are found and where they are they in bed? Are they, you know, out of bed? Yeah. All that stuff. Like, if this guy just crept in and, you know, does this while they're both sleeping, what a fucking, like, what a coward. First and foremost. And what an awful, awful piece of shit.
He is the stuff of nightmares. If he really
is.
Your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube, or join our Substack. Check it out. The link's in the description. HiddenKillers.substack.com to join us over there. And hey, press subscribe on our podcast wherever it is you get podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iHeart, Spotify. Take us with you. We put about 8 to 10 episodes out every single day.
A lot of content.
On the cases that you all are following with expert interviews like Bob here and our commentaries. If you like what we're doing, search us up wherever you get your podcasts and press subscribe. We do appreciate that greatly. We'll continue the conversation in the comment section on YouTube and Substack. Until then, for Todd and Bob, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.